All right, hour number three is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Holly De Leon joining us now, and a veteran educator and a language pathologist. And Holly, we've been through a lot these last 18 months, especially when it comes to our younger generations, and my heart goes out to a lot of parents and folks. Mine are all grown. My youngest is 29. I've got grandkids, though, that are, you know, kind of in that age group we're going to talk about right now. Yep. And we're going to talk about fighting COVID learning loss, because that has happened these past 18 months.
Absolutely it has, John, and thanks for giving us an opportunity to talk about it, because it's really an important topic, and we want to try to inform parents as much as possible.
And I agree. Okay, so what are some of these signs? If there's folks out there listening, whether they're a parent or a grandparent even, what are some of the signs they should be looking at to know whether their, especially in this case, preschooler is maybe off track a little bit?
Well, I think the thing that people need to recognize is what COVID has done with our youngest learners is, yes, we have learning loss. We think we're estimating could be 5 to 12 months of learning loss that has happened. But we also need to be cognizant of the fact that this has been an emotional toll on our kiddos. And whether they know how to articulate it or not, it's taking a toll. You know, their schedule is disrupted. They don't understand what's happened. They might have had deaths in the in the family. Mm-hmm. So what we want to look for are things that were progressing normally but then have stopped or have slowed down. And so one of the areas that we look at with this age range is speech development, because this is so critical. You know, what a lot of folks don't realize is for a young child, this time between birth and five, 90% of their brain is being developed during that time. And so it's really important that they have really positive experiences, quality experiences in that time frame. So we look at milestones with kiddos. So we say a child about three, in terms of speech, you should be able to understand about 75% of what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And not just within the family,
right,
but maybe neighbors and other folks. You know, so if they can't understand, or your child was developing normally and then it kind of just stopped, that's a red flag. The other is that we've got language development that is absolutely critical to reading. So by the age of three, a child should have a speaking vocabulary of about 200 words, but an understanding vocabulary of about 1,000 words.
Okay.
And so you...
So in other words, they can hear a word, know what it means, but they may not be able to repeat it.
Correct.
Okay.
But that will come. And so that's what we do as parents and grandparents, is we model for them. And so they pick it up. And so when it, you know, like if you show a child a ball and you say, here, I'm going to throw you the ball, and the child says ball, that's great. You come back and say, yes, it's a big red ball and I'm going to throw it to you. And so, you know, the child will then reduce it down to what they're capable of doing. But if they can't do that, that's a major red flag. And the other is we can't just look at literacy. We have to look at numeracy. And so the thing you want to look at with the young kiddos is that they can see patterns. And by patterns, I mean if you put before them a circle and a block and a circle and a block and a circle, can they figure out what comes next? And that's the basis of mathematics, is being able to see that logic and reasoning, right? And so you want to see that. And the other that I cannot emphasize enough is that these young children need to hear an immense number of words a day. And I mean, that's a total of about 21,000 words every day. And so that can come from a variety of sources, but they need to do that. And the problem that we see is we have many kiddos, and in some cases we have, you know, 60, 70, 80% of the children that are entering our kindergarten doors are not sufficiently prepared. We call it the preparation gap. And a lot of that is that they have not heard sufficient words. So I cannot emphasize to your listeners enough, if you're cooking dinner, be talking to your child about what you're doing.
Right.
I'm stirring the vegetables.
Right.
I'm cutting the vegetables. You know, they need to hear language.
I think I'm one of those people, Holly, where I just, you know, sort of always talk to myself even. So when the grandkids are around, I'm going to go do something. I talk to them just like I'm talking to myself. So, yeah, they hear all sorts of things. And it's
exactly.
I didn't realize I was doing that the right way. I just thought, well, that's just me, and that's how I do it.
That's exactly what we encourage parents to do.
That's hilarious, actually. And I've got a 2.5-year-old grandson. I'll I'll see him tonight. Actually, they're going to come over to the house and visit. And,
oh, we'll see. I mean, you're right. You're right in the heart of it.
Yep.
You know it.
And it's funny. Everything you just said, by the way, I look at Sam and I watch him and I listen to him and I listen to him talk. And of course, I've been around enough where I've got sort of that interpretation going on, if you would. So he says things that maybe sure. You may not know, but I know. But it's funny. It's almost like, and his mom's great. His mom and dad both, they work with him very well. And as I see him literally week after week after week, and that vocabulary just keeps building and building and building. That's what you're talking about, right?
That's exactly, because the other thing that people have to realize is that basic foundational language development is what predicates how well they're going to read. Mm. And our objective when they're under five is to do everything we can to get them kindergarten ready. And unfortunately, we've got too many kiddos entering kindergarten not ready. And when they're not, some of those kids are 2 to 3 years behind.
Yeah.
So when they're not, you have a mountain to climb.
Yeah, you do, really. And to your point, that young age where they're really a big sponge, if you would, and there's so much stuff they can learn, and they are, literally. You can just keep – it's like a fire hose. You can just turn it on and start dumping into them, and they'll suck in about as much as you can give them, Holly, and I mean that sincerely.
And you're seeing it with your 2.5-year-old grandson. I mean, that's exactly what you're seeing, is that they are ready to absorb, and it's our job to try to prepare them, because if we don't, we're really setting them up to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, we didn't think that way. But now we know that birth to five time frame is absolutely critical to not just to their graduation rate, but to their lifelong, what they're able to do with a career. And, can they go to college? And that's all the foundation of that is set by the time they're five.
Okay. So, Holly, if there's folks out listening to me that are either a parent or especially – in a lot of cases, a grandparent, and they're noticing things that maybe don't quite seem right. And I know that's a sensitive subject when you start talking to your kids about their kids and what they should be or shouldn't be doing and so on. How do you properly address where we look at it and say, wait a minute, I think Susie should be a lot further along than what she is. In fact, I can tell from age and so on that we're not as far along. How do you handle that?
Yeah, and you're right. It is touchy. And I used to have a community-based speech and hearing clinic, and I confronted that every day with parents. You know, they don't want to hear that their child.
No, they don't want to. No, you're right. They're going to think they're a bad parent on the front side, so they definitely don't want to hear it. Now, that may be the case. It may not be the case. I don't know. Bottom line, we still have to try to help the child get to where they need to go.
That's what I would tell parents all the time, is that nobody's pointing fingers. It's just that we have a limited amount of time to try to catch this child up. And so we have to intensify our efforts. And so when I say that, I mean, if we see a child that is behind, we just have to increase the dose. And increase the dose means if a standard is a child needs to hear 21,000 words a day, well, then maybe this child that's behind needs to hear 30,000 or 40,000 mm-hmm. words a day. They need to be read to more.
Mm-hmm.
They need to. You cannot read to them too much.
Okay.
They need to be exposed to nursery rhymes. Many folks don't realize that in education, we look at a standard of if a 4-year-old child can recite 8 nursery rhymes, that is a high predictor of reading success.
Mm.
And so don't discount that.
Okay.
All these little things that people think are just little silly nursery rhymes are actually very important to the development of a child. So if you think that the child is behind, you want to increase the amount of words that are being spoken. You want to increase the amount of reading that is happening. And you absolutely do not want to waste a single opportunity for putting vocabulary in front of them. Going to the grocery store.
Teachable moments. I used to call those, Holly, when I had kids. Those are teachable moments.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they are. And so if a child is behind, you want to increase the amount of teachable moments,
mm-hmm.
right? And so
mm-hmm.
you take a walk around the block, and you're finding everything that you see that's a square or everything that you see that's purple. And, you have a topic that you're discussing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is just reinforcing all those concepts. And that's what we have to do in this at this age is
makes
colors,
sense.
Shapes, numbers.
Yeah. No, makes sense.
Sound,
total
letters,
sense.
Letters, sounds, all of that.
Question I have for you on this line as well, and again, Holly, De Leon is with us, and again, as you can tell from listening, much more of an expert at this than I would ever think of being. I've never been in education, so I learn from those of you, Holly, I have on an interview, and I just learn so much every time somebody like you is on. Does it help a child when they have an older sibling that's, you know, within, you know, a couple of years of age or so, where that, you know, and in the case of my grandkids, I've got one that's 2.5 and the other one's a couple of years older. So the one that's a couple of years older, of course, talks nonstop. So then, of course, the other one, I think, is able to hear those 21,000 words from one person. Just, I'm kidding, but you get where I'm going. Exactly. I may not be that far off on that one, by the way. That actually might be truer than I think. Does that help, is my point.
Yes, it absolutely does. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. You know, and that's, I say, it can come from teachers, it can come from parents, it can come from siblings. You know, I work with this computer-assisted device. It can come from quality design computer-assisted devices if they're giving language in the full context, right? It's not just like single words. You see some things that they're just spitting out single words. That's not what kids need to hear. They need to hear connected language. They need to hear, you know, things that are in full sentences. And it's not that we're expecting them to, you know, to be able to repeat it back or, you know, just, you know, parrot us, but they still need that exposure to rich language experiences.
Yeah, I always thought I was not a model parent by any stretch of the imagination, Holly, although my kids have done very well. They all have jobs and have done extremely well in life and very proud of each and every one of them. And I will say this, I never talked to my kids like they were kids. In other words, I talked to my kids just like they were you and I having a conversation right now. I didn't use the baby voice and all that kind of stuff. We just had regular, normal conversations from the time they could start understanding. And again, I don't know whether I did it right, wrong, or otherwise. I just looked at it as if I'm going to teach them, they need to learn as an adult would learn.
Well, then that's exactly right. And what I used to have to counsel the parents of the kids that I worked with in the clinic is sometimes if a child had, you know, they were speech delayed or whatever, the parents thought it was cute. And so the parents would turn around and say it the way the child was saying it. You know, I'm gonna wide on the twain. I'm gonna wide on the twain.
Right.
Well, it's like, and you'd have to go, no. They need to hear you say it in
correctly.
You're the model.
Right.
You're the model. They're gonna hear you and you need to be saying it correctly. So, you know, parents should not fall into that. Sometimes they, you know, they think it's cute, but, you know, your job is to be the model for them.
Holly, are there places that, you know, if there's folks listening that they know they've got a situation going on to where they can see one of their toddlers just isn't advancing as quickly as they should be because of everything we've talked about, are there places they can go that, you know, specialize and help with some of these things, or do they have to go this alone?
No. I would never recommend that they go it alone. If they have doubts and they think that the child might be, you know, have fallen behind, you know, maybe they were behind before COVID ever hit, right? And now they've gotten even further behind. So now we really have to step things up. I would always tell parents to consult with their pediatrician.
Okay.
And pediatricians, you know the milestones. If they want to research things themselves, there's a lot of misinformation out there. So I would tell them, go to the source of things. The American Speech and Hearing Association has all the milestones that a child would go through. And so they can find that information at ASHA.org, and that will give them accurate information because you don't want to kind of go down a rabbit hole.
Right.
And then if the consensus is yes, the child has difficulties, then seek out in your local area there in Colorado the well respected speech and language pathologist. A learning specialist, a reading specialist, somebody like that. For the younger ones, it's more in the speech and language pathologist realm because that's really what we're talking about.
Okay.
And if you can work really intensely on it when they're in that younger age range, then we can get them ready for kindergarten, and so then they will be prepared to learn to read.
Okay.
But if we don't, they're going to have difficulties, and it's very, very hard to get past that.
Now, you also have a website, animalisland.us, that I have to go back in my notes because it's been a couple of years, Holly, where I believe I interviewed one of the original either founders or one of the original innovators of this particular product that you guys have on the website? Because I can tell from the pictures on the website, and I was thinking of that, and I should have double-checked before you came on. But I believe I interviewed somebody a couple of years ago on this particular product. Talk about that for just one moment and what it can do also.
Well, you know, there are times, and let's all admit it, you know, as parents, there's sometimes we don't have enough time to sit down and talk with our kids as much as we should. And so there, if you've got computer-assisted technology that is quality, it's got to be high quality. That's the thing, is you don't want to sit them down and have things that are not going to be a strong language base, right? So this, this program is a strong language base. It's real engaging for young kids because it's all these animals that they start relating to. But it, but the content that's being delivered is what the child needs to hear, but in the way a young child, let's say 12 months to, you know, 3.5 years, the way that it needs to be presented, which is a lot of movement, a lot of dance, a lot of songs, you know, academic content, you know, working on all the things, like we said, letters, letter sounds, numbers, colors, shapes, you know, all of that, but done in a fun way, because you absolutely don't want to sit a child down and have them be miserable and, you know, not want to do it. You want them to be desiring to do it. And I find what the developers of this program have done the right things pedagogically so that it's the right material for a young child, and it's done in a really fun and engaging way. Okay. And I would highly recommend it.
And actually, I did look, as you were talking back through my notes, I did interview the chief marketing officer at one point in time. So my memory was correct. I did have this, had that part of it on. Not you, but I did have something on along those lines once before as well. So my memory's not all bad after all, Holly.
There you go. See, we can get older and still keep our memory.
That's a fact. We sure can. It's been a joy having you. It really has been, Holly. I appreciate it very much. You've given out some really valuable information. And again, we've got lots of folks listening that have kids or grandkids, and this is really important information given what we've gone through. And I appreciate it. We'd love to have you back in the future. This is just great stuff. I really appreciate your time.
Not a problem, Don. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Holly. I do appreciate it. And again, folks, that website, where if you think there's some other types of assistance that you can have, machine learning, I should say, assistance. And this is all AI-driven, by the way, so it actually has the ability to interact with your child and so on. It's animalisland.us. Again, we'll put that up on the website later tonight as well. American National Insurance is next.